Yesterday, I was blessed to share the pulpit with my brother yesterday afternoon, and I'm almost positive I've preached with him before, and it's just, but don't know when it was, and it hadn't been that often, and it's just such a blessing to me, and as he's such a blessing to me. But heard a lot of preaching on some of the kings. One king in particular, Uzziah. Elder Jeff Cochran from Missouri was there, and Elder Jonathan Cook from Maryland was there, and then also on Prophet Zechariah. And I just love that preaching out of the kings and then the prophets, the minor prophets and all. And so I just, Lord blessed us in that, and then plus with our sweet fellowship. And I could, with Kathy being the only one here that heard my sermon yesterday, I could just go through, use the same subject, I don't think. And preacher's good about saying this, but I found it to be true. I don't intend to do that, by the way. I preach out of Zephaniah. Anyway, I don't intend to do that. But you don't ever really have the same sermon, you know. And I could. In fact, I'm tempted to go there again to see what the Lord might bring out different today than he did yesterday. But I have something else out of that. And in fact, and also out of what I preached here last Sunday, out of Exodus 33, that I'd like to bring to you a particular subject, and it's the people of God, his people. And so once one begins to look into that and study that subject, it is massive. It's everywhere. In there, it's everywhere, and so much. And you take each individual place then and draw so much from each of those. And so I pray the Lord will bless me for just a few minutes to bring out a few points, thoughts on this. I'm going to begin in Genesis. In Genesis, the 17th chapter. So many times I begin, I say, and this, of course, is a very familiar scene, familiar story and all, but this truly is when God called Abraham and covenanted with him. But in the 17th chapter of Genesis, in the second verse, God says, I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. God is talking about his people that he's just beginning here. We go back to the beginning here in Genesis and see that. He says, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. This is Abraham. This is God's people. We don't see Abraham choosing anything here. It's God chose a people here as we go through his people. All being sinners from Adam on down, they're sinners. And we see as we do study the Old Testament that they transgressed against God and his laws. But God loves them. And chose them. Then down in the 8th verse, then I'll jump over to first part of Exodus. In the 8th verse says, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee, family of Abraham, thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So his people that he's chosen, they're his people. He is their God through anything that they did. And so many times as we bring out when they transgressed against God, Many times I'll ask the question, did they cease to be God's people at that point when they did that? No, they didn't. Thank you, Sister Donna, for shaking your head. No, they're still His people. When we transgress against God in our lives, whatever that may be, whether I did it right there on that pew a few minutes ago or do it this afternoon, whenever it is, I am still a part of God's people. I'm thankful for that. And I rest in that. I have peace in that. And that nothing that I can do against God will remove me from that. And neither could they. Neither could they. And yet in that, I don't want to minimize the things that we need to be doing in our lives. To revere God and to honor Him. Now in Exodus the sixth chapter. Exodus chapter 6. second verse, I'll just begin there and get a couple of verses. And God spake unto Moses. Now He's speaking unto Moses. Sort of like last, as He talked to Moses in the 33rd chapter, a friend speaketh to a friend. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them. So he's speaking to Moses about what I just read, that event there. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. So this is the land, and Moses is to bring out, God has called Moses to bring out who? From Egypt, His people, God's people. That's who He was. No one else. It was His people that Moses was to bring out from there. We can apply many of these thoughts to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. And He shall say, and in fact, that song that I select after we started singing that last song there, in that first verse, the second score, it said something about His people. He shall save His people all by suffering in their stead. That's who He saved there. Remember the sovereignty of God in all things. Now, in the sixth verse, then, he says, wherefore, say unto the children of Israel. So, Moses, you go tell them this. Say unto the children of Israel, who is His people, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. You obviously notice the emphasis there. God did all of that. Thank you, Eric. He did that. They didn't do it. Moses just did what God told him to do most of the time. We know, we see at least one time that he did not do what God commanded him to do. So God did all this, and I am leading up to the verse or two that I want. But and in fact, the next verse down, we'll read that. And I will take you to me for a people. He's telling us, you tell Israel this. I will take you to me for a people. There is a separation there. He chose out. God chose this people. I will choose you out of all of mankind, is what He did. And think of the elect family of God. This was, at this time, on earth, the elect family of God that He chose out. And then sands of the sea, stars of the sky. And I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. Ye shall know. There's a hard shall. We're called hard shalls because of all the shalls that we believe in God's word that we've been had revealed to us. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. Did they then, once they knew that, did they just walk perfectly in life? No, they did not. But there still is people, I'll remind you, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham that I just read over in Genesis, that land. He said he would do that. They should at that point when Moses told Israel that, should think to themselves, okay, this is going to happen. This is God. This is God Almighty, Jehovah, and He is going to bring us in. There should be no doubts. Now, as so many things in my life that I feel like that God has spoken to me, even if it's in a still small voice, and many times to me, I believe it's a loud, firm voice of determination, and yet still to that. Of what God would have me to do or how to handle a situation, and still I doubt that. You know what? Something else we have to deal with in this, as they did, is Satan trying to lob arrows at us and to make us doubt God because Satan knows that he is loosed but for a season. He knows he is eternally defeated. Satan does by God, that same Satan was there with them as is here with us. You know, we say that God does not change. That if we read something, much of my main theme yesterday as I was preaching out of Zephaniah and the other places that I went was not so much to cover Zephaniah's prophecy, but to draw things out and then to show the people that happened to be there in that congregation, this is God. This is God. We see God. And once you learn that, okay, this is God right there, then you know He doesn't change. So it's not like then, okay, well, let's go study the New Testament. Oh, it's different now. No, God's the same. And Jesus Christ is God. And He's the same, does not change. And so we can draw upon these truths. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. He's bearing down hard on that. When preachers then repeat things, number one, we can go to the Apostle Paul and see him repeating things along the way. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He repeats that. He bears down on that. God Himself does that. And so he is going to bring them into that land. And He did that. Did many of those that He's speaking to here, Moses spoke to, did they not enter into the land of Canaan? That's correct. Many of them did not. But I tell you what, Abraham's seed, his family, his heritage, they did. God covenanted to do that. He made that covenant, and He did that in spite of the people. As I read God's word and I see His, certainly His judgments, but then His mercy, and I can't help but think, well, if that would have been me, I would have said this, I'd have been done with it, and like, okay, I'll call me another people out, but no, God stuck with them. He promised them. He promised them. Whatever promise He has made to us, He will follow through on that. He will not break that. That's another thing you can realize if you think, well, maybe something's going to waver here. Maybe He'll break some. Maybe He'll change His mind on something. No. If He promised you something, then He will come through with that, not break that. In 19th chapter of Exodus, Exodus 19. So in the third verse, Exodus 19, Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Moses had a lot to tell the children of Israel from God. It was God's message. Ministers today should have a lot to tell God's people still. And it needs to be from God. But I think we all see that God uses His many ministers that He's called, and I believe utilizes their backgrounds, their history, their personalities to preach His word. You can get five different preachers to preach the very same subject, and different things will be brought out, of course. And also, I know that I don't understand this completely, but different ones will draw things from one minister. It's like, well, I understand him, and I can't grasp maybe as much as what this minister is saying and all. We have preferences in that, I'm thinking of one minister that is his presentation, his delivery is more, and I have to say that someone that talked to me about this is more analytical. In analyzing, maybe a little bit deeper in greater detail, and this sister was telling me, well, that minister, maybe not everyone likes that delivery or that type of preaching, but this particular sister did. She gets a lot out of that, and so that's a blessing. And so God, like I've said, even here at this church, my responsibility, the main one, I believe, is to ensure that you all, this congregation, hears the gospel preached, the truth of God, and that you are edified, you're lifted up, and you're drawn to God by that message, no matter who preaches it. And I believe Brother Mark has been blessed to help us in that. And the preachers that I invite, we want to. And I hear feedback from the ones and they're all precious to me. And we love them, but the ones that God has blessed to make a connection with those in this congregation, and I'm thankful for that because we learn that much more. Don't we grow in grace and through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We want that. We want that. And that's done through the gospel. Ye have, fourth verse, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. He brought his people. He chose a people out of Abraham and he brought them unto himself. He did that. God did that. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. All the earth is God's, but he has separated them. They are a peculiar treasure. I love that word treasure. It's precious. It is worth something. And peculiar, it's special. They are his special people. This people is above all people. So they're separated out. Now, you don't know what's in my mind. I'm heading towards some things, but let me go to Ruth, the first chapter, the book of Ruth. This is one book here, the book of Ruth, that speaks a lot of God's people and Naomi's people, Ruth's mother-in-law here. And I don't want to, I could say, well, you know this story here, what led up to this and that, but I don't, I try not to assume things and all. I want to set up this scene, but I feel certain you do realize that Naomi lost her husband and her two sons and death. They had, Elimelech and Naomi had left, Bethlehem and come to Moab. And all this land of idolatry and so forth. There was a famine in the land. They left. They came where there was something to eat. They chose poorly in their decision. So then when she lost her husband and sons, and her sons, by the way, married while they were there to Moabites. So now there is now bread in her homeland. So she's going to head back over there. And Naomi has changed. She has changed here. Start the sixth verse here. She arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. He visited his people, which were Naomi's people, back home in Bethlehem, giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. So they both, Rosa, they head out at this point, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Now, at this point, I don't know. Yeah, we don't know the exact situation. Where were they walking? They obviously assume. Okay, I'm going with her. She is my mother-in-law. This is my family. And also they head out here, and they went on the way to return. So they're going. It's not like she left and told them, okay, you need to stay here. You're from Moab, and you just stay here. We've got nothing. And she does go through and do that, but after they've started on their journey. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, and ye have dealt as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. Then in the 10th verse, I'm going to try to skip some of this. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Unto thy people. It's not their people. It's hers. And so there's their thought process there. That's why they also went with her to began to go to Judah. They're, surely we'll go with thee unto thy people. So she is trying to convince them, no, you stay. And in the 14th verse, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. Oh, and Orpah, the one daughter-in-law, kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Ruth clave unto her. Such a beautiful picture here. Naomi said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. So there's the idols. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Just go back. This was complete logic. It made perfect sense. It's logic. You go back. Why are you going with me? Naomi, I don't know what she expected to find when she went home, but she was bitter. God had dealt with her bitterly for what she had done with her husband. And so return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people. Ruth didn't have a clue what really she was saying. We know that statement right there. Yes, they were going to be her people. She's in this lineage of Jesus Christ himself. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Ruth had a long way to go here. And yet she had, her husband certainly was one of God's people. And I'm talking here on earth and all. We're not talking about those that are chosen in eternity, although I don't want to get into all that. But this is all happening right here. And this is in the mind and purpose of God. He's done this. Anyway, I don't want to digress and get distracted here. Then she says, "Wherest thou?" Finish the sentence here. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And she saw, Naomi saw this. Let me grab this and I'll move on. But I like this. And when Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded, Ruth was steadfastly minded. She is not giving in here. That she was steadfastly minded to go with her. Then she left speaking unto her. She thought, okay, this is a lost cause. I'm wasting my breath. You know, that's what people say in trying to convince you of something. So she went. If they knew at a higher level, God's perspective of this and what was taking place, Naomi's just going home here. Now, and I'm going to go back to a place that I was, last Sunday in back in Exodus in the 33rd chapter. But so how is the world that of which God is over the entire world, but that he chose this people out of, how are they going to know that Israel, that the seed of Abraham is his, that they are his people? Well, in the 33rd chapter of Exodus, the 16th verse, which I know I went here last Sunday, but let me grab it and move on to the next. But in 33:16 of Exodus, Moses says, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us?" So remember that Moses was concerned here that thou goest. Moses was concerned that God would go with them as God led them into this land of Canaan. And to the point where Moses told God, if you're not going with us, then don't send us hence. Don't send us if you're not going with us. Is it not in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, and I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. That's how they're separated. And we've said, and I'm leading up to the New Testament, as I'll get to that and then close this out, as we are have been separated here on earth. I tell you what, the elect family of God, those chosen out, those separated there, they are known by their actions, the fruit that they manifest, the fruit of the Spirit that they manifest. They're different from other people here on the earth. And so this, he's saying that we found grace in thy sight. How are others going to know that unless you go with us? And certainly now, unless he goes with us, we're not going to be any different from anyone else. And it's by God's mercy and his grace that we're able. Now, let me, as I go over into, I'm going to end up in, I believe in 1 Peter, but I want to go to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts first on my way. Acts 10. And for a bit, yesterday, Kathy and I spoke of this event here. This is when Peter went to the house of Cornelius. And they were, house of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile. Peter was a Jew. And he, it's like, no, we don't do this. This is where he said, was it three, I believe three times, not so, Lord. And I preached on this before. But in this chapter 10 here, around the 45th verse is where I'm looking. Well, 44th verse, while Peter yet spake these words. So he's preaching in the house of Cornelius to all of his family. And these are Gentiles. And he had taken wisely other Jews with him to witness this, which is good. But so this is what he's doing. While Peter yet spake these words, he's preaching to them. That's what he went there for. He was asked to come there. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. So these Gentiles, heathens, dogs, that's what they were called by the Jews. So the Holy Ghost fell on all of them. And they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, they believed in Christ, they were of God, and were astonished, as many as came with Peter. So those are the Jews that came with him. Because, here's the reason, that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. That God, these Jews saw these heathens, the uncircumcised, the Holy Ghost poured out there. I have found, and even in recent days, seen where when we cannot judge something, when it's okay, is this the right thing to do? Is it not? And sometimes we don't know until we're into it. But when I see the outpouring of the Spirit of God, that's what we need to look for. If I'm wondering the last several steps or 100 steps I've made, walked in my life, were those right? Were those what God would have me to walk in whatever actions I take then? I try to look at the blessings of God. And I don't want to just see the suffering, the long suffering of God, because He'll do that. It's like, well, until He straightens Himself out, hey, I'll not leave thee nor forsake thee, and I'll be close with thee. But I tell you what, when we truly see the blessings of God, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, in our lives, in our actions, in our church, then there is the indication that God, that we're doing the right thing. Sometimes that's the only way we can tell. It's a big way. I'm not minimizing it. Because we want to follow, we want to try the spirits, we want to follow the guidance of the Holy Ghost, and we need to watch out when we simply follow men. And all. We've got to pray that God will guide us in our thoughts, because Peter went through a great change here. Now, we know, and I skipped ahead here really, because I could have gone to Ephesians 2:14, where it talks about God, that Jesus broke down the middle wall of partition and made both one, Jew and Gentile. He did that. So what I'm doing here real quickly is bringing us Gentiles into God's people, my people. That's how we are. We go from all that I'm speaking of, Israel, the Jewish people, Hebrews, that was God's people. Now Jesus Christ brings us into that, all Gentiles, those that He chose before the foundation of the world. So now I'm going to close in 1 Peter, the second chapter. Let's go there. Second chapter, 1 Peter. One of the words I've already used in the Old Testament with Abraham's family, Abraham's seed. Well, I was going to get some other verses. Let me just go right to the verse and we'll close out. Verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, He's speaking, and in my Bible, in italics, like I've said before, they'll have the publishers will put a subject above. So many times it's correct. Sometimes I'm not sure about that, but it says God's own people right above this particular verse and 9 and 10. But he's talking about Jew and Gentile. You are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, a peculiar people. God still has his own special people. I tell you what, he had them in eternity. And yet, we're not eternal in times past. We have a beginning when we were conceived and then we're born. I tell you what, though, we are eternal. We have eternal life now given by Jesus Christ, and we are eternal moving forward. And we long for that. There was one phrase in it. I mentioned this yesterday. Part of it is it begins. Why should we start to fear to die? What timorous worms we mortals are! And one of the verses says, "Death is the gateway to eternal joy." In other words, why do we fear? Why do we start in fear to die when we know what's ahead of us? I'm not ready. I'm not ready. But I tell you what, we can rest in that through Jesus Christ. So we have eternal life right now that in an instant will be with him. But because we are God's own special people, that's what peculiar means. Some people would say in the modern vernacular, yeah, you're peculiar, all right, and go with that. And that's fine, and we are. We have some different customs. But how do people know that we are God's people? Because God is with us. They see that. I tell you what, I've had conversations with people that would come into the church and they would see, and maybe they eventually join the church and so forth. They would see, number one, the sincerity. They certainly were shown, well, that makes sense. That gospel of Jesus Christ, even with some rambling preacher, that makes sense to me, and there's scripture for it and all with his truths. But also, they see the love. I should say they should see the love here. I've been in churches that we were not really following what God would have us to do, how we would treat others, showing that we believed and esteemed others better than ourselves and so forth. And if someone had come in and seen us acting that way, and that's happened in years past, I've mentioned some of the divisions and so forth in the church and terrible stuff, that how people treated one another, and somehow the church is still here. It's still, and it will be here when Jesus comes back. But if they see the love, if we are acting in a way, in a manner that God would have us do, and I know, I see perfect examples, I won't say perfect, close to it, examples of that in the love and sweet people, and some that have gone on to be with Jesus himself, their Savior and their Redeemer, that they showed that love, made me feel about this big. When I would let Satan get a hold of me and treat people in ways that I should not have. And yet God forgives our iniquities and our transgressions. So let's just remember, as we see the examples of God's own special people, that even now we are that. We are his special people. Jesus Christ came and sacrificed himself for us. That's how special we are. And that's nothing, that's not boasting. It's through the grace and the mercy of God, and yet he did not relinquish his judgment and his justice. That took place there on the cross with mercy and grace. May God bless you and keep you. Amen, brother. We'll sing a song.